Hi, this is Harold Long. Welcome to the Hiltran United Weekly Message and Podcast. I'm glad you're making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end, but for now, let's dive right in.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from Romans 6, 1 through 6 of the Common English Bible. So what are we going to say? Should we continue sinning so grace will multiply? Absolutely not. All of us died to sin. How can we still live in it? Or don't you know that all who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried together with him through baptism in his death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too can walk in newness of life. If we were united together in a death link like his, we will also be united together in a resurrection like his. This is what we know. The person that we used to be was crucified with him in order to get rid of the corpse that had been controlled by sin. That way we wouldn't be enslaved to sin anymore. May God bless your hearing, understanding, and application of Scripture.
So things haven't turned out as you hoped. Life took a turn.
A bump, a darkened sky, and at times it may have seemed there was no hope. But here's the good news. Our God is the God of fresh starts. Our God is the God of new beginnings. Our God brings new mercies, new compassions, not just once a year, not just when things are bad, but every single morning. This season has been tough. And for many of us, things will never be the same. But we are here, breathing, maybe smiling, or crying, or shouting, or laughing. But we are here, feeling, maybe fighting, or cheering, or seeking, or grieving, but we are here. Living. And we are not alone. Our God is here. Our God is with us. And our God is the God of new creations.
Well, good morning, church. And I'm glad you're all with us. If you're listening online, I'm glad you're here. If you're listening to this on demand, I encourage you to stop and go to our website and download the bulletin and lesson plan for today. It's under the tab Bulletin and Lesson Plans because we're going to refer to it a little bit today. If you're live with us, if you'll pull out your lesson plan, you'll see the guide to lead us through today's message. On the back side of that, you'll see the next 6-day challenge. I encourage you to use that as part of your meditation and prayer throughout the week. You can throw that in your Bible or whatever your devotional books you read on a regular basis. And just each day, take the quote of that day or the scripture that day and answer the reflection question to yourself. Maybe share it with a partner and just unpack that question. It'll keep this message alive throughout the week. So I encourage you to utilize that tool big time today. You'll also see a couple other inserts in there. There will be four diagrams. Some of these aren't new. I shared them a few weeks ago. We're not going to break down these things per se. I'm going to refer to them, but they're for your own study, for your own spiritual development and maturity. And you can keep these inside Romans and refer to them often because it will really help you understand our dilemma as it comes to sin. It will also help you understand what it means for Christ to be in us and us in Christ. It's just, I can't tell you how important it is. So we'll be referring to those today. You know, we're in a message series titled Romans, I'm Not Ashamed of the Gospel. And it's we're on no particular calendar or timeline with it. You know, we hit it a little bit, then we'll bounce around and hit a few other messages and have guest speakers, etc. But we're consistent going through this message series. So if you're listening new, you can go back to our YouTube page, to our website under the sermon tab, and you can listen to all the messages in this series up till today in order if you'd like. But it's just one of the most important books in the entire New Testament. And I can't tell you how much it's impacted my life and lives of many theologians, John Wesley being one of them, Martin Luther being another one, and the list goes on, John Calvin. It was this book, this particular text inside the New Testament that was a game changer, and it was for me as well. We spent Romans 1 through 5, those five chapters, going through and unpacking the introduction to this chapter and leading us up to chapter 5, which really is all about justification, what it means to be justified. And now we're segueing into chapter 6, verses 8, and what this means to put this in motion. You know, we intellectualized it. We got a conception of what it means to be lost and et cetera, and what our part is, which is to exercise faith and repentance to respond to the gift of God's grace in our life. But how do we put it in motion? So that's what we're going to start unpacking in this message series. So we're going to go into this today. And what we're going to study today is really what the title of today's message is, dual nature or new nature. And it's really important to know the difference. And it's where a lot of Christian believers get lost. It's where I was lost at one point in time. But today's message series, hopefully you'll have some revelation, what they're talking about. What is the Apostle Paul talking about? And many of the New Testament scriptures that talk about this new nature, what is it and how? Why is it important? How does it impact our life? And so we're going to dive into that today. And your very first slide that you have, it's important to understand this, that the human being is made up of three parts. We're made up of spirit, we're made up of soul, and we're made up of body. And 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter or verse 23, validates that. This is who we are as a person. Every human being is made up this way. And so that diagram number one gives you a visual of what that looks like. That, you know, part of you is spirit, part of you is soul. Your soul is made up of your mind, your emotions, and your will. Really important to know that, because most people don't know. When you say, what is your soul? Well, I don't know, really. It's just unseen part of me. But it's important, I think, to know what it is. It's our mind, our will, and our emotions. And then lastly, the framework we call our bodies. That's what makes up the human being. And today we're going to talk about how that new nature impacts all that, how sin impacts that. And it's really important, I think, to get it. And when we get it, it can be a game changer. Diagrams 2 and 3 in your handout. Unpack what happened when Adam sinned. When we talk about the fall in the Garden of Eden, you know, what happened to humanity, what happened to humankind going forward, that gives us a visual of what happened. And when Adam sinned, humanity's nature changed forever. And it's called many things, Adamic nature, sin nature, you know, depraved, spiritually bankrupt, whatever. But it's what it means that we're born dead. It means that we're separated from God. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 confirms that. At one time, you were like a dead person because of the things you did wrong and your offenses against God. But you were born that way. So if you're struggling with that, just know it's not something you just willfully chose to do. You were born that way. And if you read on in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, it confirms that we're born children of wrath. And if you don't think so, I use this metaphor many times, but it's true. You can take 2 3-year-olds, put them in a room, and give them one toy, and you'll find out what I'm talking about. These beautiful, precious little children of God become kind of evil. You know, they want what they want. You know, my children, some of the first words my children ever learned to say was not just mama or dada, but it was mine. You know, mine. It's mine. You know, And they just naturally know how to do these things. It isn't like we had classes in the home. It's like, hey, today after supper, we're going to learn how to hit another kid. And tomorrow, we're going to learn how to lie and do it well. You know, they just learn how to do these things naturally because it's part of their nature. So important to know that about ourselves, big time. And we know that we're separated from God, John chapter 4, verse 24, because of it. It separates us, our spirit, from God's spirit. This cavity, if you look at that visual and that diagram, this piece of the pie that's our spirit is vacated from God. And so we're separated from God. This is what sin does. You know, the Greek word for it is harmatia, means missing the mark. You can call it character defects, shortcomings, hurts, habits, hang-ups, whatever language works for you. But it's this junk that separates me from you at a real deep, intimate level, but it also definitely separates me from God. And so this is our dilemma. And so in diagram number 2, Satan moved in and took over Adam's spirit, his mind, and his body. He just took it over. His soul and his body. You know, so he took over all three parts of the human being. That's what Satan did with Adam. Adam's mind, being part of the soul, becomes under attack from the principalities and powers, or what we would call the enemy, the dark side, Lucifer, the devil, Satan himself, whatever you want to refer toward. This battle we call spiritual warfare, the battle that happens between your ears. We all know what this battle is. It has many voices, many shapes, many sounds. And we do battle with it. You know, we can call it the voices, you know, whatever you want to call it. How many voices are there? Hey, if I had to see a counselor, they charge me a group rate. That's how. So there's a lot of noise. The principalities and powers comes in a lot of big shapes and sizes, but it can work you over. You can wake up in the middle of the morning and 2 or 3 and you can't go back to sleep, and this spiritual warfare just starts hammering you. But the good news, of course, and there is always good news, is that Jesus, because of the cross, because of the resurrection, can free us from this Adamic nature and unites us back with God through the cross, through the resurrection, through the second coming. All this is what brings us back to Jesus. And so it's important. Diagram number 4 is what our life looks like after we exercise faith, after we exercise repentance. And God crucifies our old self. And so in your memory verse under the next 6-day challenge will be this verse, Romans chapter 6, verse 6. And we're going to refer to this a handful of times going through this message. But it's really an important message to understand. This is what we know. The person that we used to be was crucified with him in order to get rid of the corpse that had been controlled by sin. That way we wouldn't be enslaved to sin anymore. I mean, I can't tell you how important that this is and how much of a game changer it is. 2 Corinthians 17 tells us this, chapter 5, verse 17. So then, if anyone is in Christ, that person is part of a new creation. The old things have gone away, and look, new things have arrived. And so this is a tremendous promise that we're given in Scripture, but we're created as a new self, who we are now. John. You got his feedback in there, brother. Who we are now is really, really important. And so we're going to spend time unpacking this. And this happened because Jesus took up residence in our spirit. So when you see that piece of the pie of our makeup as a human being, Jesus vacates and becomes, not vacates, but takes up residency in that space. This is what it means to be justified and be a believer. And so Colossians 1, chapter 1, verse 27 reminds us, God wanted to make sure the glorious riches of this secret plain known among the Gentiles, which is Christ living in you, the hope of the glory, right? Colossians 3, 4 tells us, when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. So it's not the old Emmanuel way of thinking that God is with us, that he's like he lives across the street, or he's just a text away or an email away or a phone call away. No, God is in us. He's taken up residence inside us, along with the Holy Spirit. So it's not just Jesus living in us and us in Christ, but then he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit, which we find in John chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Jesus answered, and I quote, I assure you, unless someone is born of water and spirit, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh. Whatever is born of the spirit is spirit. And Romans 8, 16 reminds us the same spirit agrees with our spirit that we are God's children. So when Jesus takes up residency in us, the Holy Spirit takes up residency in us, Then we were made right with God. We were brought back in alliance with God. And we were made alive in God. And this all took place when we were justified in Romans 5:1. So going back to Romans 6:6 again, look what it says. This is what we know. The person that we used to be was crucified with him in order to get rid of the corpse. That way we can be controlled, that have been controlled by sin. That way we wouldn't be slaves to sin anymore. We wouldn't be enslaved that way any longer. And so this is one of the first fill in the blanks in your handout. But this is, I can't tell you how important it is to understand this right here. God did not clean up our old self. He crucified it. He eradicated it. He did away with it, and he did away with it forever. It wasn't like we bought an old 57 Chevy that needed a lot of TLC, and we brought it back, and we just polished it up, and we replaced parts, and we did all this stuff, and it looks awesome, and we cleaned up this old 57 Chevy. It isn't that at all, but this is the mind frame of a lot of people think. This is what God's doing. No, God got crucified the old self and gave us a whole new life. I mean, that's different. That's day and night difference in mindset, and it's so important to get that. He eradicated us forever. He created a new person who is holy and perfect, fully accepted by God. And so when we go back to Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been made righteous through his faithfulness, we have peace with our God through Jesus Christ. So it's this act of exercising repentance, exercising our faith, that we're made right with God. We're 100% made right. And how powerful that is. No doubt that our spirit and soul define who we are. Your spirit and your soul define who you are and how you live out your life. And it'll define whether you live a Jesus-centered life or not. And so diagrams 4 and diagrams 9, which you don't have but you had before, refer to that. And so I encourage you to think about those as you study those later on in your own reflection, how important that is. Hebrews 10:14, because he perfected the people who are being made holy with one offering for all time. So Jesus paid it all. Our soul, our spirit are made 100% perfect at justification. Even though our behavior or our spiritual maturity is being sanctified under the perfect love of God on an ongoing basis. So the minute, and if you're listening to this online or after the fact and you're struggling to whether you're saved, am I really going to heaven? The minute you exercise your faith, the minute you exercise repentance and turn from your old ways, you're 100% made right with God. I mean, 100% means there's nothing else you're going to be able to do for the rest of your life to get God to accept you or love you any more than he already does. And that should be a tremendous shot of hope in your life. Just to know that. Because we know we still got imperfections. We have warts, we have pimples, we got hurts, we got habits, we got hang-ups that we don't like about ourselves that still rear their ugly head in our lives, and we wish they weren't there sometimes. But all that aside, we're 100% right with God. Now this maturity part is a work in progress. And I've used this many times, but I'll use it many times again, that if you had a matrix or a scale, a grid that went from a zero being as low as you can go to 100 being all the way to the top of our spiritual maturity, measuring who we are spiritually, I was probably a negative number when I started on this journey. I wasn't even a zero. I was a negative number. And if I lived a life expectancy and I get out of this life, you know, a 70 or an 80, well, that would be a major, major deal in my life. And the same is true for you. So it's not a license to act a fool when we give our life to Christ, but it shows us that we're not perfect. We're under the perfect love of God, but we're not perfect. But it doesn't give us a license to act a fool. It should give us motivation to keep on going. And so it's really important to get this. This is another fill in the blank in your handout. But it's really important to understand the statement. What we do is not who we are. Even though who we are has a tremendous impact on what we do. I hope you get what that's saying to you. What we do is not who we are. So if you sin, it doesn't make you a sinner. You sin because you are a sinner. But what we do is not who we are, even though what we are has tremendous impact on what we do, especially as it relates to this new nature that we have trying to live a Jesus-centered life. Highly important to get that. So here's a cute little picture. picture of a cat and a little hog, a little pig. And there's some videos on this on YouTube of these two. It's pretty comical. But they're brought together, and they don't have all this ism and phobias about each other. They just look at each other as two different, as the same. They just love each other. They play with each other, etc., right? If you took that nature, though, and this is important to get. This is this dual nature stuff I'm talking about. So it's really important to get this. If you're listening online, there's a picture of a kitten and a little pig sitting in a animal bed, a pink, fluffy animal bed. But they're together. They're loving on each other. But if I took the nature out of that cat, I hope, listen to what I'm telling you. If I take the nature out of that cat and I put it in that pig, what would be the result? The result would be that little pig would go in the litter box. So I hope you hear what I'm saying. If I take the nature of that cat, I put it in that pig will go in the litter box, despite what it looks like on the outside. Despite that it's a hog in every which way or shape or form, because it has a new nature, it will start going in the litter box. So what would you call it at that point? Would you call it a cat? Or would you still call it a hog? This is an important question. It really is. Would you call it a cat because it has a new nature despite what it looks like on the outside? Because if this new creature fell into the mud, even though it looks like a hog, it would get out and lick itself clean. Now, a hog loves the slop, loves the mud. But with this new nature, even this pig, even though it's a pig on the outside, if it got all muddy, it would hate the mud. It would lick everything else. Bring this back to us personally. This is what happens to us. That we are a new nature. You know, that God crucified our old self and replaced it with a new nature. Despite what we look like on the outside. Yeah, I'm still the same old Harold Long I've always been. At least externally. If you saw pictures of me, it looks like the same guy. Nothing's really changed. But the nature's totally different. I'm not the guy that I used to be. By miles. Not anywhere even close. But I look the same, talk the same, you know, at least sound the same. But it's important to understand it. And the difference today is I'm still a sinner, but I don't like it anymore. You know, I'll occasionally commit acts of sin, but I don't enjoy it like I used to. So when I fall short, it doesn't feel good. You know, that's the new nature in me. The old nature, I do this stuff all day long, and I think twice about it. But today I got this new nature that works against me, and I get convicted by the Holy Spirit living inside me because I'm trying to live a Jesus-centered life. And so if I'm truly living a Jesus-centered life, then when I do sin, I confess it, and I repent from it. I turn from it, and I just dust my pants off. I get back on the horse, and I ride again. But I don't like it the same. And it's really critical to understand that. And when we do that with the Holy Spirit as our friend, as our advocate living inside us, when we do fall short, it changes. So again, if you took the hog and removed its nature and replaced it with the nature of a cat, the resulting creature would use a litter box. Okay? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Don't make the Holy Spirit of God unhappy. You were sealed by Him for the day of redemption. Meaning that the Spirit dwells within me. My Spirit and God's Spirit are one. So when I fall short, when I sin, when I get caught up in a hurt habit or hang up, it not only grieves my spirit, but it grieves the Holy Spirit as well. And so you have this dual thing going on here. And so we have to understand that. Now there's this thing in Christian circles. You may never even heard this before, but it's called positional truth. But it exists among many Christians today. And this is the mindset of the positional truth statement. They believe that the old self remains until we go to heaven. So not only do you have this new nature, but you still have this old nature, and the two are just going to fight it out for the rest of your life. Kind of see this portrayed in the old Tom and Jerry cartoon with the devil on one side and the angel on the other. It's like the battle of good and evil going on between your ears, and it's going to be that way until you die. And if that is your mindset as a believer, then you're never going to experience any peace of mind. I mean, I just hope you hear what I'm saying. You will never be at peace. You will never be at rest because you got this. You're convinced that this old self exists and still has power, has influence on, and has say-so in your life. And it's at a subconscious level. Sometimes people say stuff like this. This is my evil twin, Howard. I'm Harold. When I act a fool, it's my evil twin, Howard. We like to want to blame it on this old self, this old nature. But the old nature is gone. I got a new nature. It's not perfect, but it's a whole lot different than it used to be. And so it's impossible for that to happen. And so going back to Romans 5:1, this is where positional people that take this theological worldview that positional truth is real will go back to this verse and want to try to build it into that. That we're made righteous, we're 100% right with God, but this old part of ourself is with us till the day we die. And if that was true, then if I went back to the picture of the cat, it wouldn't be a cat and it wouldn't be a hog. It would be a cahog, right? It would be part cat, part hog. It would be a cahog. So you're not really redeemed. You're part redeemed, but you're part sinner. So you're really not fully right with God. You're just, on any given day, you're more right than another day. And if this is falls into your world view and your landscape spiritually, it can leave you in a mess. But here's the reality. If I had a hog and a cat mentality going on with me at the same time, every time the hog wanted to get in the slop, the cat would go crazy. And every time the cat wanted to lick itself clean, the hog would lose his mind. You know, they would be in total conflict with each other all the time, right? You follow me? You follow me what I'm saying? So we can't get lost in this hog mentality, and that's what positional truth does. But for a lot of believers, they get lost there. And they think that this old self is just something they have to deal with for the rest of their life. And it's not. It's important to know that. Really important to know that. Should we, as New Testament believers, possess two natures? We can never experience God's peace if we do. So if you're stuck here, I hope this liberates you today. To realize that you have a new nature. And that's God in us. And this, you know, because without it, you know, then you're not going to experience Romans 6:6. You're not getting what Romans 6:6. And you're not going to have any rest. As we can see in Hebrews 4:9. You're not going to experience the Sabbath that God left open for people. Nor are you going to experience the gifts of the Spirit that we find in Galatians 5:22. You're not going to experience these on any real level because they're going to be quickly squashed or muffled because of this old self. So Romans 6:6 is just a verse that I hope you get into the deep of who you are, into your DNA. And this old self being eradicated will be validated when we get into chapter 7, especially verses 1 through 4. But now that we unpack what it means to die to our old self, which let's look quickly at the power of sin. And you can see this in diagrams 2 and 3. The power of sin works over our mind, and this is where spiritual warfare is waged between our ears, friends. Once you're justified, the power of sin only has one avenue to send messages to your mind, and that is with your body, particularly your brain. But your brain is not your mind. Your mind is part of your soul. So I hope you get that. Growing up, my mom would all the time say, "Kid, Harold, use your brain." You know, but that's really a misnomer because a brain is just a chassis. You know, the mind is part of the soul. It's a separate entity. But once we're saved, once we have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside us, and we're alive and we're connected to God and we're reborn, we're born again, then the dark side only has one chassis to get at us, and that's in our brain. And the brain sends messages to our mind. And this is the only place that sin will remain and remain in the body. It doesn't make the body evil, but it just remains in our body. We will still suffer from sin. It's why we have disease. It's why we get sick, etc. That's just part of the sin nature of us. And this brain can send messages to the mind, but we have, as we mature spiritually, we learn how to deal with those messages. When the messages come in, we have a way to deal with them today. We don't just succumb to them and then under their influence any longer. And that's the good news that spiritual maturity provides to us. The power of sin was evicted when we were saved. In Colossians 3, verses 4, tells us that when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed in Him in glory. Amen. So this, it's really important to know that Christ is in you and wants to live out His life through you as a kingdom person. And my commitment to that is, okay, please do. And help me get out of the way of myself so that can happen. And don't worry if you get lost. Those diagrams you have, you can study those on your own and help make sense of all this. But you will use these diagrams, friends, every day of your life until death to help combat spiritual warfare. I'm just telling you, when you know what this stuff is about, when you understand it, now you've got a visual aid to help you with it, it helps make sense of the spiritual warfare. And you're basically, all I'm doing is helping equip you for battle. Because you're going to have to suffer spiritual warfare for the rest of your life. The enemy is going to send stuff to the brain's going to send it to your mind, and then you have a choice how you deal with it. You know, and the best thing you can do is have an inner circle of believers in your life, whether it's a small group, a mentor, or whatever, that you can share this junk with in your mind. So, you know, a great question on a weekly basis with a mentor is, let's talk about what you've suffered from this week in between your ears. Because we all suffer from it. And the dark side, the devil, Satan, however you want to frame it, the enemy, the lower power, however you want to look at it, it can't create anything. All it can take is what's going on in your life and twist it. And it does a great job at it. And it just asks what-if questions. Hey, you know the reason they didn't call you back right away is, what if they just don't like you? And then you listen to that. What if they just don't want anything to do with you? And you give any kind of leverage to that, it can consume you like a wildfire. And you can just get lost in that for hours on your pillow. For hours on your pillow. And you can just eat your lunch up. And this is what spiritual warfare looks like. And we don't have to live in that battle alone. I was told by a mentor a long time ago, Harold, don't go in here alone. It's like a bad neighborhood, right? Just don't go in there alone. And the most important thing I can do is be transparent about what's going on between my ears. Not that everything that goes on between my ears is good or bad, but there's definitely negative thinking. Stinking thinking. Friends in recovery, we call it stinking thinking. Whatever. But it happens. But if I don't share this, if I try to look a little cleaner than I really am on the outside, and I don't share what's going on between my ears, well, then I become enslaved to it. And it owns me. And if you don't have that persons or small group where you can have real transparency about what's going on between your ears, then I hope you get one. Because it'll make a big difference in how your life turns out. But if you're going along with this, you're enslaved to it. And it's powerful. And it's truly a powerful. So we're getting ready for battle. You are from God, right? You are from God. Little children, and you have been defeated, these people, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. Amen? Know that truth. That's John 4:4. The one that's in you is greater than what's going on outside. It's greater than the world system. It's greater than COVID-19. It's greater than cancer. It's greater than financial insecurity or bankruptcy or death. Whatever evil comes our way, the one inside has more power than ever over that. And that power is living in you. It's not some entity out there somewhere where you're, or it's up in the sky, you're looking up all the time. That's why I always laugh when the guys hit a home run and they come to home plate and they go like this. They never do it when they strike out. How come they never do this when they strike out? They only do it when something good happens. And they always look up. But it's inside us. Man, we just need to look within. I hope you get that. This book is a book I'd refer you to. Last week, I gave a tough message on, are we being duped about God? And it was a hard message, but it was a message that was important to hear. And I gave some references to a few books, but we didn't have a lesson plan. Those references are in your lesson plan this week. So you can see those references to those two books that I would encourage you to add to your library. Spend some time in those books. It'll make a big difference in your faith. But this book here by Dr. Bill Gilliam, Lifetime Guarantee, really covers a lot of truths that we'll find in chapter 5 through 8 in Romans. Something that we'll spend a lot of time in. And so I encourage you to add those three books to your library and spend some time with them. They will shape your faith. They will give you some hope. They will give you a new insight on your faith, on Jesus, what it means to live a Jesus-centered life. Will help you tremendously. So add those to your repertoire. So with that, I'm going to ask our praise band to come back up. As we get ready to sing, I'm going to ask you all to stand as we're going to sing and give praise that we have this victory over the dark side in our lives. And that this power lives inside each and every one of us. And that we can tap into this power 24/7, 365 days a year. Amen? That's powerful. This new nature. You are a new creation. You are one of God's kids. He loves you with everything that He possesses, despite your imperfections, despite that you still fall short sometimes. You're right with God. If you have questions about today's message, email me. We can talk on the phone. We can talk on Zoom. We can text. We can email. Whatever works for a meeting person. But you don't have to go alone with your questions, your doubts, or wherever you're at on your spiritual journey. And lastly, let's pray. So I'm going to ask you, invite everybody to stand. Let's pray. And we're going to sing. Lord, thank you for today's message. Thank you for the book of Romans and the Apostle Paul. And the depth and weight that this scripture we read today carries. Help this truth get into every inch of who we are. That we truly are a new creation the moment that we put our faith and trust in you. And we exercise that. And then we exercise repentance. That the Holy Spirit dwells within us. That we've been baptized not only by water symbolically, but we have been baptized by Spirit. We have this Spirit living deep inside us. And because of that, we have relationship with you, that we are 100% right with you. Help us know that truth and help us live into it and help others. Let us have the willingness to help others discover that same truth. Yes, we're fatally flawed. Yes, we still have hurts, habits, and hang-ups that plague us. But Lord, we just pray for the confidence, the honesty, the willingness, the open-mindedness to share this junk, our junk, with somebody else so we can be free from it and know that we're not alone in this battle. We know that the battle wages, that this stuff generates from the brain and is sent to our minds, and if we don't pay attention to it, if we don't put on the full armor of everything you've given us, starting with your word, that it will have power over us. It will influence our mind. It will hold us hostage. It will beat us down to where we have little to no self-worth whatsoever. And shameless into thinking that the world would be better off without us. Lord, save us from any of that. But we know we have to muster the courage to just get real, get honest about what's going on. So we pray for that. We pray for everybody listening today that they would have that courage, that they have that someone or that group of people or that small group that they can confide in and be just totally transparent so they can be free from the power sin tries to have in their life. Lord, we thank you for Jesus, the cross, the resurrection, that we have this new nature. And it's not because we're good, it's because you're good. And because of your goodness and your grace and your mercy, we stand here as your children, as new creations, ready to go out into the world and live Jesus-centered lives. So Lord, we pray for that empowerment. We pray that our voices can be full of gratitude and optimism for that truth, and that we can walk out of here today a little stronger than we walked in. It's in your Son's mighty name we pray these things. Amen.
Amen.
Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope that we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know a little bit more about us, we are Hill-Tran United. Hill-Tran United is an alliance between Hillsboro United Methodist Church and Transformation United Methodist Church. We are kingdom churches and kingdom communities for people who aren't into church. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. at Hillsboro United Methodist Church and 11 a.m. at Transformation United Methodist Church. Both churches are located in the northeastern tip of the beautiful Ozark Mountains, located in Jefferson County, Missouri. We also meet during the week in smaller groups that we call life groups and home churches, and that's how we make it relational. We hear regularly from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are at. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vimeo, and YouTube, or you can download our app from your favorite app store. Just search for the app titled Our Church by Church Dev and enter in Hill-Tran United, and you can access all of our available audio, video teachings, plus through the app or our website, you can download our PowerPoint slides, bulletin, sermon notes, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. And lastly, if you want to learn more about how you can support Hillsboro United Methodist Church or Transformation United Methodist Church financially, please go to www.hilltran.org for more information and to give. We appreciate anything you can do to help. Hey, thanks for being a member of this extended church family. I'm glad we are in this together as kingdom people, commencing shoulder to shoulder to help people rediscover life and experience the kingdom of God.